Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our second lesson, Book of Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning at the 14th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, there's an old hymn that says, "When from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, this then shall be my only plea. Jesus has lived and died for me." You may or may not realize it that our Bible has a very large gap in it. The gap comes between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there is a period of about 400 years between the two of them. Now, 400 years, a lot of things can happen in that stretch of time. You think about our own history in our country. 400 years ago, what was that? 1624. When did the pilgrims get here? 1620. So that's a long time. Paint wasn't even dry in their houses. So it's a long time ago. A lot of things can happen in 400 years. The Old Testament ends in a very different place than where the New Testament begins in the history of this world. Old Testament ends with the people of God, the people of God under Persian rule, the rule of the Persians, which was relatively peaceful and quiet. But that peace and quiet was soon disturbed by the invasion of Westerners into the Middle East. The invasion of Alexander the Great and his Greek and Macedonian soldiers. And they had a program that they were doing. It was intentional on their part. They came into the Middle East and they were going to bring Western culture and Western education. And the way they brought it was sometimes through persuasion, because Alexander the Great had been taught by a great Greek philosopher, a man by the name of Aristotle, and so persuasion was used to convert the people of the Middle East to Western ways, and if persuasion didn't work, then they resorted to torture and murder and oppression. And so you have the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, looks back on those days when the Westerners came in to change everything and make everything better. And this is what it says. Some of God's people were tortured, but they refused to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. And if you read the historical accounts of the period, those are not excessive words. Those things happened. And eventually, it got so bad that a priestly family among the Jews, some people called the Maccabees, led a revolt against the Westerners who were imposing Western culture. They led a revolt, and something happened beyond all expectation. They actually defeated the Westerners. They defeated the Greeks. Those folks were defeated in battle and driven out, and the people of God set up their own country. And for their rulers, naturally, they chose the family of the Maccabees. And for a very brief time, very brief, the people thought that the kingdom of God had finally come. They even described the time period using Old Testament language. They said, "Every man sat under his vine and under his fig tree." And the picture is one of contentment, where you have enough to eat and you can relax and be at rest and sit in the shade. Did it last? Turn on the news. You can answer the question. Did it last? Did it last? Not very long. Matter of fact, only a couple of years before things degenerated, before intrigues and conflicts and quarrels and warfare started, and The high priestly family became corrupt and worldly. And it is with this history in mind, not so much the history of the Old Testament, but the history of the intervening period, that people looked at Jesus when he came along, and they followed him in the thousands, because they thought that perhaps he was the Moshiach, he was the Messiah, he was the anointed one. He would be like the leaders of past generations who fought the fight. And unlike them, he would be the one who would keep the faith. And it was with that history in mind that people tried to make him king. It was with that history in mind that they wanted him to be their military leader. It was with that history in mind that his disciples, even after 3 years of intensive training together with him, when he was about to ascend into heaven, this was the question they had for him. This was the burning question. They said, "Lord, is it now at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is now this going to happen?" And so it's with that history in mind that the Lord's real work was a hard sell. Always has been. The suffering Messiah, people didn't get it. Didn't make any sense. Didn't seem like an answer for the problems. Now, the suffering Messiah was in the Bible. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll find these words, and you may be familiar with them. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Now all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It's right there, right in Isaiah chapter 53. Our transgressions should have pierced us. Our iniquity should have crushed us. Our lack of peace with God should have destroyed us. Our sickness of heart before the Lord, how much that is a part of us. Romans chapter 7, "I don't understand," this is Paul's words, "I don't understand my own actions. I don't do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now I agree that God's law is good, but sin dwells within me. And I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, that's what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I that do it, but it's sin that dwells within me. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." And when you start talking like that, now you're starting to talk about your real problems. The real problems that can really hurt you, really destroy you. You can turn on the television and look at the Middle East. You can turn on the television or the internet and talk about the politicians and the election. But what's the real thing that can hurt you? All we like sheep have gone astray. All we are sinners. And so you come to Hebrews chapter 2, today's lesson. And it says, "Since therefore the children have participated in blood and flesh, also himself likewise the Lord shared together with him, with them, in order that through death he might make of no effect the one having the power of death," that is the devil. The point being there is that by his death, Jesus just put a muzzle on Satan's mouth. He can talk all he wants. He can slander all he wants. That's his name in the Old Testament, HaSatan, the Satan, which means the accuser. He can accuse you all he wants, but you're right with God. You're clean before God. You have the Lord's favor. in order that through death he might free them who in the fear of death all their life were held in slavery. It's like that old hymn I quoted for you before. It says, bold I shall stand on that great day, that's the day of the Lord, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay, fully absolved through these I am, that's Jesus' blood and righteousness, fully absolved through these I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. You talk like that, doesn't sound like you're afraid of death, doesn't sound like you're afraid of leaving this world. You're glad to go to be with the Lord. But in order that through death he also might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things that have to do with God, in order that he might atone for the sins of the people. Again, the hymn, Lord, I believe. I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. 400 years. That's a long period of time. A lot of things can happen in 400 years. And if a lot of things can happen in 400 years, what if we multiply that by 10? Have a lot of things happened in 4,000 years? Since the time of Abraham? Since the time the Lord pointed out to him the promised land and said, all of this is going to be yours? Have a lot of things happened? Yeah, a lot of things have happened. And yet, as much as has happened since that time, things really haven't changed. It's the same news cycle over and over again. If you look at that part of the world and you look at our part of the world, politics, quarrels, weapons, war, territory, conquest, the same old story. And if in 4,000 years we haven't fixed it, maybe the good Lord's saying something. Maybe he's saying, knock, knock. What's going on? What do you know? What do you understand? Maybe it's that you keep aiming at the wrong problems, and then you come up with the wrong solutions. What are the problems? Gaza? Politicians? Are those the real and ultimate problems? No, Romans 7. I know that nothing good dwells in me. I can point to the other people, but nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord's solution, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As St. Paul would say, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he answers his own question. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because you got the real problems to deal with. You got the problem of sin. You got the problem of death. You have the problem of the power of the devil. Those are the real enemies. Those are the ones that can do you the real harm. But even though they do what they're going to do, we still can sing, Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. Thou hast for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. And so then you can also sing, when from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, this then shall be my only plea. Jesus has lived and died for me. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.